Hello, hello, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode one of the Casa Conda show. It's been a long time coming. We finally created a jacket for it. And of course, you have me, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Varun Alvaconda, who you can find literally nowhere on social media, even if you try. And before we start talking about our subject matter, which is a preview of India's upcoming home test series versus the West Indies, I'd just like to remind everyone that all of our podcasts on the Good Areas Network, they are powered by our supporters on Patreon. And you can become one of them if you go to patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast. That way you can join and enjoy ad-free content. You can talk to us exclusively and you can give us podcast recommendations as well. So Varun, how does it feel to finally start the Casa Conda show officially? Because we've had a fair few unofficial episodes, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I think both of us, it's both cricketing schedule and both sheer laziness on my part. It's probably played into us not doing this yet. But yeah.
Well,
definitely a long time coming.
It was. Here's Ijaz Ali with a comment says, that's one hell of a name for a show. Yeah, I mean, I think...
What the hell is a profile pic, bro?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. Here. That's funny. But yes, of course, you know...
Kahala gaya phone. Okay.
I feel like this is something that we both wanted to do for a while, but one of the main drivers was that we could call it the Casa Conda show. The other option was Alvaconzi, and they were both good. Stiff competition, but Casa Conda ultimately won. Sid likes the name as well.
We could have called it Conzi, like the Ponzi scheme.
The Conzi scheme. Not bad. Sanchit Tiwari says, Casa Conda sounds like a venomous snake whose one drop of venom could kill a village. I don't mind it, because Varun and I generally...
Interestingly, Alvaconda is actually a village.
Nice. And Kazi means judge. So village of judges. Not quite a venomous snake, is it?
Judge of villages.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we're here to preview India's upcoming two-match home test series versus the West Indies. We'll be going over the squads, the venues, we'll have a round of predictions. And finally, back to test cricket, actual cricket, Varun. You must be really excited.
Yeah, it's been, like, we had a couple of months off. I think it's I'm happy. I wouldn't have minded a couple more weeks of T20 cricket because it still feels like, I know it was like a couple of months ago, but it still feels like the England series just happened. So I wouldn't have minded like a couple more weeks of just, as we like to call it, like hidden giggle cricket. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, I think I've been pretty vocal about this, that sure, I appreciate all formats of cricket, but test cricket is what I truly love. I'm a bit of a purist, and also it's just the slow burn, the overnight drama, and how, you know, the game continues to change. The conditions continue to change as the game progresses as well. So it's a different flavor. I suppose it's an acquired taste, and maybe the younger generations don't quite agree with me, but I'm sure that there'll be a fair few, you know, test cricket fans going, yes, Behram is correct. Every other sort of cricket is bullshit. No, it's not bullshit, but I just have a special love in my heart for test cricket. And Varun, this is a fresh new cycle of the World Test Championship. India, in the last cycle, for the very first time, did not make the final. This is now a team in transition. There's some big names missing. Lots of retirements. Virat Kohli, Ravichandran Ashwin, Rohit Sharma. So, I mean, they're going to be playing test cricket at home now for the very first time with this new look team. What does that make you feel? Or how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think from what we're hearing, the team really want to almost kind of just put the ghosts of that New Zealand 3-0 behind them and then just start in a dominating way. And I think that's what I want them to do. I know it's just we're just previewing the West Indies series, but I kind of, like, a part of me thinks that India should win every game in the home series. Like, I just think that even though it's a team in transition, I still think they have the quality that to be able to do it if they do turn up. And we'll probably talk about this in a bit later, assuming the BCCI doesn't dish out ranked turners again, hopefully, for the love of God. Can we get some balanced pitches again? I'm exhausted by ranked turners.
Why wait when we can talk about it right now, buddy? I mean, we saw some really interesting surfaces when England toured India, and I thought that those were quite balanced. And then for New Zealand, I mean, Bengaluru was just flat out weird, right? So much in that surface for seam bowlers in that first innings. And then we got two ranked turners in which New Zealand also won, and that was that. I do think that the ranked turner strategy worked a lot for India for a while. And they'd only lost like four games in, like, you know, over a decade. But then what ranked turners do is that your batters don't get comfortable, you know, and don't spend a lot of time out in the middle. And you're perhaps kind of, you know, stagnating their progress as batters. There are a few drawbacks. You also kind of make it a level playing field because, you know, you don't need to be an exceptional or world-class spinner to tweak it big time on a ranked turner. I agree with you. I think that we should have more balanced surfaces. India, odds-on favorites in the series, should beat the West Indies 2-0 with whatever squad they assemble, because the West Indies can't bat and they've got some exciting bowlers, but their batting almost always lets them down and their fielding has been all over the shop as well. So, I mean, I hope that you get your wish, man. We've got, what, Ahmedabad and Delhi? So, that massive-ass stadium, the Narendra Modi Stadium, and then the former Feroz Shah Kotla. I have no idea what it's called now. I'd have to look it up. So, are you a red soil versus black soil expert, or should we wait for Jared for that one?
I think we wait for Jared for that one because I have absolutely no idea what the I'm not the pitch guy. I think that's the way I'd explain it. I'd actually slightly disagree with you. I think you were saying that India won because of rankings. I think they won in spite of them. Like they, I think if they produce balanced pitches, even the four losses you were talking about might not even happen.
No, I mean it's a fair shout. You know, I'm just saying that with the quality of spinners that India had, and they had really good batters who played spin, it wasn't the worst ploy in terms of okay, let's just win every goddamn home game. And if you're losing just four across 10 years, I'm not saying it was the worst ploy, but it comes with its drawbacks. That's kind of what I was getting to. And ultimately, you know, it's going to bite you back in your ass, and that's what ultimately happened with New Zealand. Right, like who would have thunk?
I think the concerning thing about the ranked turners was like the India's best spinners and India's best players of spin. It was, if you do a Venn diagram, if there was a massive overlap, it's very concerning. Yeah. It's just like if there were times where like Ashwin and Jadeja were like constantly carrying you, and Akshar Patel as well. That should not. Hopefully, that doesn't happen again.
Like, I mean, we'll see. Crick Freak is saying Delhi is red soil, so that's interesting. Again, usually when we're having this conversation, there's a lot of chatter around black soil versus red soil. Now Saroj is saying that Delhi is not red soil. Look, I can't remember which kind of sort of surface does what, but what I can tell you is that I don't expect India to make ranked earners for this because they should just defeat West Indies on whatever sort of surface. So might as well have your batter score some runs and maybe, you know, some early moisture that the seamers can exploit, then some good batting conditions, and then eventually, you know, the pitch dries out, it starts to rag. You know, you want to see all sorts of cricketers come into play and the game not become super one-dimensional, because we've seen in the past when you play on ranked earners, not just in India, anywhere in the world, I mean, it's just a shootout and spinners are in business and your fast bowlers are barely bowling any overs. It does kind of get a bit dry, pun intended.
Yeah, so the other thing with Delhi is, if I'm not wrong, this is close to Dasara and Diwali, and Delhi is just, I think there's been a few instances where there has been a lot of pollution in Delhi around this time because of the fireworks. If that is the case, can the test match even happen without any people getting severe like breathing problems?
Man, that...
Like, comments do correct me if I'm wrong.
That is a fantastic point, dude. I mean, look, I know that Lahore in Pakistan has a smog issue. And Delhi is quite similar. In fact, those two cities are competing with each other for the most polluted cities in the world often, in terms of smog at least. So, I mean, I don't know if this is that time of the year where you could see that sort of stuff in Delhi. But generally, in smog season, it gets pretty messed up, dude. Like, I've been to Lahore in that season. Visibility is bad. The air quality is terrible. That's not going to be a great look. I mean, the BCCI is probably going to be held accountable. Then why would you guys do this? What a howler. Like, how could you?
Yeah, like, hopefully there isn't an issue because it would be a bit bad. Yeah. And then it would also 100% be BCCI's own fault if there is an issue.
Yep. Anyway, we've got a couple of super chats that we can take now before we go on to the squads, which is why all of you are over here. Gargi S with a nice super chat. I agree with her already. She says, just happy that no more drama cricket. Asia Cup left a sour taste, but Indian team needs to work on batting bowling as well. I agree.
Which format?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Indian cricket needs to do the most work in test cricket because they are a white ball juggernaut currently, even though they have holes. Yeah. We learned from this Asia Cup that as good as India are, and they're still probably the best T20 team in the world, they are not invincible, they are quite vincible. And better teams might have gotten the better of them in the Asia Cup. It's just that, you know, there was a massive gulf between India and the rest of the Asian teams. But in test cricket, I feel like this is just a new generation altogether and they've got a point to prove. And what better way to start than a home series versus the West Indies, who have generally struggled big time in test cricket, right?
Yeah, definitely. They've not been, West Indies haven't been a very good test side for like a few. Realistically, they haven't been a good test side since Courtney Walsh and Kirtley Ambrose have retired. Like, but I don't think, I think if you ask casual fans, they'll be like, oh, it's only been a recent decline. It's not a recent decline. It's been happening for a while. It's just, again, it's the classic thing of people are so batting obsessed that people look at the great batters that West Indies had in the 2000 and assume it's a good team. I'm like, you could make an argument, this current team, but like, I'm not even exaggerating. They have no batting. Yeah. Like, there is not an ounce of batting. It would probably done better than the 2000s team with, like, the one with Lara, Chandrapal, Gale, and Saran, and all of them.
Yeah. I mean, if that batting lineup had these bowlers, then the West Indies could have been a really formidable unit. And Jason Holder, when he was captaining, West Indies won a lot more than they did in those years that you're just mentioning, right? So there's proof that bowlers, when you test matches, you take 20 wickets and that's how you win. And Darren Sammy seems to have that kind of mindset, actually. But he might go seamer heavy, and that might not work. It's difficult for seamers in India, even if the ball, like, even if the surface is a sporting one. I mean, it's tough to kind of crack those surfaces. But yes, Gargi, thank you for your super chat once again. And we are all relieved that the Asia Cup drama is over. Now, we have got Gelu Sherpa. That's a nice super chat. Says, just here to listen to Behram. Well, I can assure you that Varun is also a fantastic podcaster. And love from India. Right back at you, Gelu Sherpa. I've been abused so much recently that that actually does mean a lot. All right, then. Varun, which team do you want to talk about first?
I mean, let's start with India.
Yeah, sure. Right? And shout out to Rakshit for this beautiful graphic and loving the turquoise Casaconda theme as well. So, India's squad is Shubman Gill as captain, followed by Yashasvi Jaiswal, Kanor Lokesh Rahul, Sai Sudarshan, Devdutt Padikkal, Dhruv Jurel, Ravindra Jadeja, who is the vice captain. Never an instance in the history of Indian cricket where they don't name a vice captain. Washington Sundar,
of course.
Jasprit Bumrah, Akshar Patel, Nitish Kumar Reddy, Mohammad Siraj, Prasad Krishna, Kuldeep Yadav, and Jagadishan as the backup wicket keeper. It's a fascinating squad, Varun. The biggest takeaway for me is that they've axed Karun Nair. And whilst I can see why they would do that, because he is like on the wrong side of 35, I want to say. Because
he, yeah, I think so. He's around 35.
Yeah, he might be close to that. And, you know, I do feel a bit of sympathy for him because the England series was a tough one and he was batting in multiple positions. Sometimes he's in the lower middle order, sometimes he's first drop. And when he was at first drop, he did a decent job at delaying Shubman Gill's entry point. I didn't think he was bad in that regard. But they've moved on for him or from him, which I feel it's a bit sad. But then again, you know, bringing in Devdutt Padikkal over someone like Sarfaraz, I feel that's a bit scandalous on its own, right? Because I know Shreyas Iyer said that he wants to take a break from red ball cricket. But Sarfaraz just passed some yo-yo test from what I've been seeing on social media. So what's up with that? I know you're a big Sarfaraz fan.
I'm definitely a big Sarfaraz fan. So like last I heard he was injured. I don't know if anything has changed since that.
Hmm. Yeah, so I also heard the same. And then there were plenty of accounts from India who were like sharing details of how he's passed a yo-yo test and that he must have elite fitness if he's injured and he's passed the yo-yo test with incredible numbers. The guy has like shed some 17 kilograms or something as well. I'm not saying Devdutt Padikkal is bad or he'll fail, but I'm just saying in the pecking order, surely this was Sarfaraz's time.
Yeah, so I think with Devdutt, he's been doing well in India A, and then they rate him quite highly, especially, I think, before he was injured, he would have probably been the three instead of Sai Sudarshan. I think his IPL injury meant that Sai got into the team above him, so I think that's why he's back into the side, so I think.
What's your take on Karun Nair? Do you feel like he's a bit hard done by over here, or they were like, okay, this guy has come on merit, he deserves a chance to succeed or fail, and because he didn't get many runs, as you mention all the time, that, you know, when he's looking good out there, he seems like high ceiling aesthetics wise, and when things are going bad, he looks like a walking wicket at times. I mean, sure, he didn't have a successful tour of England, but should they have kept a wee bit more faith or not?
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
I think I would have given him the home summer just to see what he's like. Just, we need to know. If he can only make runs in Asia, then I don't see a point in keeping him. But yeah, like, I understand why they didn't. Maybe they just, are confident in the rest of the batting lineup and they just want to bank on talent and youth right now? Because I think one of the reasons I didn't mind having Curran in the team was because it was such a young Indian team. Having a professional made a lot of sense. But if they trust the batting lineup, I think I'm fine with just going with the younger players.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, India could select whatever squad and they'd probably win this. And this is a very strong squad. They've got pretty much all bases covered. I can't actually identify a base that they don't have covered because there's plenty of talent in there. But here's an interesting one. Jasprit Bumrah plays. Will he play both test matches? Do they want to play him in back-to-back test matches? And I want to see him play a lot of test cricket. But then again, is that the right thing to do? Where do you land on this?
I think he plays one for sure. I don't know if he plays two yet. Mainly because I think he might play both tests versus South Africa is what I'm thinking.
Yes, I mean, that would make perfect sense. Those are the more important test matches where you'd probably need him more. And I, like I said, I'd love to see Jasprit Bumrah don, you know, India's whites. And he is a spectacle. And he's still averaging below 20, by the way. Let's see if he can maintain that. Probably can. He has a terrific record versus the West Indies. But they've got to manage his workload as well. I know he sat out in two Asia Cup games, the dead rubbers. But then again, you know, test cricket is a different ball game. And we saw in England, it might be a thing of the past where you see Jasprit Bumrah play back-to-back test matches.
Yeah, it seems quite unlikely. Like, maybe it's just a fitness thing. Maybe if they trust his rhythm is back and he can handle that workload, we'll see that more often. I think we were discussing this earlier. There isn't a major overseas tour coming up for India next year, from memory, right? I don't think they are, at least if I'm not wrong.
New Zealand, when's New Zealand? Maybe the end of next year.
Is that next year? I think that must be like winter next year, or like early in summer, early 2027.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's the only tough away series, I feel, where India could, you know, struggle a bit. Potentially, you never know. They might have really sorted things out by then. And New Zealand are also one of those teams which, you know, they will have to go through a transition of their own. All right, then. Let's make our lineup over here then. I suppose that's the obvious thing to do next. KL Rahul and Yashasvi Jaiswal open. Sai Sudarshan at 3, Shubman Gill at 4. Top 4 sorted. Then you've got Padikkal at what, 5?
So I think I'm confident about the top 4. And I think the 9, 10, 11 would be Kuldeep and 2 of Bumrah, Siraj, Prasad. 5 to 7 can be very interesting because Jurel will be the keeper from what we've heard. I'm sure Jadeja and Washington both play.
Okay, so that's...
Then...
You've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 sorted then. Because at 6, you've got Jurel. 7, Jadeja. 8, Washington. 9, Bumrah, Siraj. Or 9, 10 would be... 2 of Bumrah, Siraj and Prasad, and then Kuldeep as your number 11, I suppose. Or Kuldeep would bat a bit higher, maybe.
Kuldeep would be the 9 on that team, in Indian conditions. Yep. So the interesting position would be the Devdutt position. You could play a specialist batsman in Devdutt. You could also play Nitish Kumar Reddy, because if you want Nitish to be your overseas all-rounder, maybe giving him confidence in India making runs would only prepare him for the future. The other option is obviously playing Akshar and going all in on the spinners. Yeah. The all-rounder theory, right? So there's multiple ways they can go about that. I don't think there is a wrong answer or a right answer there.
I mean...
I'm obviously more specialist board, so I'll stick with the other for
now. But Gautam Gambhir isn't. So we know that he loves his all-rounders in test cricket as well. Look, it's an interesting predicament. I don't think India will need Akshar. And I mean, he's unlucky to overlap with Jadeja's career. Because look, if Jadeja is the vice captain, which they have so proudly named, then he's going to play. And you don't need two slow left-armers, and you've already got a left-arm wrist spinner and someone in Washington Sundar who can bowl a bit of right-arm off-spin as well. So that's all bases covered, plus a spinner who can turn the ball in both directions. So then I feel like it ultimately comes down to Devdutt versus Nitish Kumar Reddy. Just because it's the West Indies, I actually feel like they should go with Reddy. Why not? Because, you know, you can blood him and give him even more game time, and maybe he can even prove to be fruitful on Indian conditions. Who knows? It's a question which deserves being answering.
Yeah, so here's the other thing, right? I hope we don't see rank turners. If they are going to have rank turners, do you need two specialist seamers? Could Nitish Kumar Reddy in that case be a second seamer?
Yeah, I mean, he could.
So we have a super chat about this, by the way, like the spinners question. So Corner Taken quickly has asked us, assuming Kuldeep and Jadeja are logged in, Akshar or Washi, who would you pick as a third spinner? Well, I think Washi is locked in. I don't think they're going to drop him. They picked him in England. Why would they drop him
in India? Absolutely. No, Washington is going to definitely play. I wouldn't even mind it if they actually go false three with Washington Sundar. I know you hate that idea, Varun, but I honestly do not mind it. But then again, Sai Sudarshan will get his game time, his due game time. So that will definitely happen. I'm quite confident. My pick is Washi because you've got a slow left armer already in Jadeja. So you might as well diversify your spin attack. That's an easy one. But I'm quite interested in this theory that maybe Gautam Gambhir sacrifices the second seamer, plays Reddy over there and Padikkal. I feel like that's something he's very much capable of doing, by the way.
Or be playing Reddy and Akshay.
Yes, he could do that as well. You can expect India to have a very deep batting lineup, which is great in white ball games, but I'm not still sold on it in test match cricket. And this is the sort of series, the West Indies series, where you should, or you can at least afford to be a bit brave over here. Go for those 20 wickets, you know?
Here's the thing though, knowing Gautam Gambhir, can we confidently say Kuldeep will play the both test matches?
Oh my God, you're just throwing my mind into a spanner. No, of course he plays. Of course he plays. You've got to play that spinner who turns the ball in both directions.
Any other coach, I would be confident. With Gambhir, I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Gauti will play Kuldeep just because he's the only spinner over here who can turn the ball in both directions. And he's Kuldeep Yadav. He did really well versus England. And those weren't even ranked earners. Remember? So there's that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got another super chat. We've got a couple of them, actually. But why not take those in the end and let's move to West Indies now, because we haven't spoken about them at all. They are also kind of a team in transition. They've been a team in transition for a long time, truth be told. But with Darren Sammy as coach and Roston Chase as captain, it is the dawn of a new era for the West Indies. And whilst they lost to Australia 3-0 in that home test series, they still had their moments. There were times where you felt like they could win the, you know, games, and the batting continuously let them down. But you saw some hope. So we've got... Oh, actually, you did see a lot of Shea Hope, but, you know, you might see a bit more of him today or in the series. Roston Chase is captain. Jomel Warrican is vice captain. Interesting. Kevlon Anderson, Alec Athanase, he's back. Jediah Blades, he's been playing some white ball games. He's been picked for the tests. John Campbell, Tejnarayan Chanderpaul, or Tej Narayan Chanderpaul. I actually don't know what his name is.
Tej Narayan.
All right. Justin Greaves, all-rounder. Shea Hope, wicketkeeper. Tevin Imlach, backup wicketkeeper. Brandon King, who still needs to kind of sort his batting position out. Johan Lane, never heard that name before, I'll be honest. Anderson Phillip, who bowls seam up. Kari Pierre and Jaden Seal. So, of course, looks quite light, but I mean, if you had to pick like some potential X-factor players in there, apart from Shea Hope and Jaden Seal, who you got?
Warrican is very interesting, if the pitch is right.
He is. And he's a very...
Mainly because I don't think they have another spinner.
Yeah, and he's an accurate slow left armer. He did really well in Pakistan with the bat and with the ball. It was incredible. He might have even been player of the series, actually. I can't quite remember. But him being vice-captain kind of, you know, locks in his spot in the starting 11. And Roston Chase, of course, I mean, he started off brilliantly in Test cricket and then he kind of, like, his career fell apart. But he's back and he provides a lot of balance because he bats and bowls and he's captain. So, you know, let's suppose Tej Narayan opens with... Brandon King doesn't open in Test cricket, does he? So, who are they opening with?
So the last lineup they had was they had John Campbell, Mikael Louie, who I don't think is in the squad.
So John Campbell and Tej Narayan.
Kevlon Anderson. Okay. So, yeah, I assume John Campbell and Tej Narayan open. Then you have Kevlon Anderson 3, Brandon King 4, Roston Chase at 5, Shai Hope at 6, and Justin Greaves at 7. Justin Greaves is a pace bowling all-rounder. I don't know if they might. I don't know if they'll go.
Yeah,
with
but
him.
They might play him so as the second seamer with Jaden Seals.
Yeah, they could. So Kari Pierre, I believe, is a SLA. Okay. He's an all-rounder as well. Maybe they have him at 7 as the main all-rounder for Indian conditions.
He's replaced.
And then you obviously have Warrican.
Yeah, he's replaced Gurdakesh Moti, Kari Pierre.
Yes,
but then there's two slow left-armers?
Roston Chase as well.
Right.
He's an off-break. Off-eight.
They don't have any spinner who can turn the ball in both directions. That's an issue.
No, I don't think so. I think West Indies pitches are like a bit spin-friendly, so usually those produce finger spinners most often.
And then you have the option of Jediah Blades as well as the second seamer, Anderson Phillip. Jaden Seals will start both games. I think if they brought Tej Narayan back, then he probably opens with John Campbell. Number three could be Alec Athanase as well. It's not necessarily Kevlon Anderson. You remember the first test match, the debut test of both Jaiswal and Alec Athanase. Jaiswal, of course, scored a ton, a big one. But Alec Athanase also scored runs. He's got success versus India. They might play him.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. He doesn't play versus Australia, I think, yeah. right? Alakathanis.
But then again, like he was playing quite regularly for the West Indies before that. He's got some experience under his belt. I feel like they'd probably feel more comfortable with him. So Tej Narayan Campbell opening, let's say Athanase at 3/Kevlon Anderson. Who was at 4 again? Brandon.
4 is Brandon King.
Brandon King will retain his spot. And then at 5, you've got Roston. At 6, you've got Shea Hope. Justin Greaves is a question mark. So it's either him or Kyrie Pierre, I suppose, at number 7. And then you've got Warrican, number 8. Jaden Seals, number 9. There's still 2 more spots that we somehow need to fill over here. So, yeah.
Did they play 2 seamers or did they play another spinner? I don't know. I can't seem to find another spinner in this team. So I assume it is
maybe they'll play both of Alec Athanase and Kevlon Anderson then. Just kind of shore up the batting.
Or, yeah, that's what I was just about to say. They go batting heavy and then Carey Pierre is 8, Warrican 9, Seals and another seamer.
I mean, there's no perfect answer to this. It's a flawed team, heaps of imperfections. The West Indies, like we've mentioned earlier, cannot bat. So they're already at a major disadvantage. But then again, this is a good opportunity for them to kind of just get some experience on foreign soil, Asian conditions in particular. And I mean, they're always that sort of team that sometimes can surprise you. It's just that India are a tough team to surprise, even if they are a team in transition.
Because West Indies is a bowling team, right? So usually with good bowling team and bad batting sides, you don't get a lot of consistency, but you'll get more wins usually. Yeah. That's what happens.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected 2 things. The phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Yeah, and of course, there's no Shamar Joseph over here. He's been in the news for all the...
And Alzari Joseph.
And Alzari Joseph. So both the Josephs are out. One of them has been in the news for all the wrong reasons. And then Alzari, I feel like they might be transitioning him as a white ball specialist now. At least that's what Mash thought when I last spoke to him about this team.
No, I think Alzari got injured.
Okay.
So, yeah, Alzari got injured. Jedaiah Blades replaces him.
Jedaiah Blades is nippy. He's a left-arm quick, but I haven't been too impressed with him in white ball cricket. So maybe just they're taking a punt on him. But then, you know, Darren Sammy knows a thing or two about Indian conditions. Maybe he can help this team. How many of these guys have actually played in India before, right? That's another question. Roston?
Can't have been a lot. They last played in 2018.
True. It's been a while, a hot minute. Maybe Roston was just starting out. So I reckon he might have played over here. And he is the skipper. So let's see if he can make a difference. But it's going to be tough work for the West Indies to make any sort of impression in this series. So you can take out the graphic now, Varun. And let's do a round of predictions then, because we've spoken about the venues, we've looked at both squads, and we've, you know, kind of created our lineups. So highest run scorer of the series. Who you got?
I'll go Jaiswal and go a bit basic.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big one. I
wanted to say Jaiswal, but since you've gone for him, I'll go Shubman Gill then.
I think it's had to be one of those two, right? Knowing that both of our, like, both of them will have a terrible series, and like some, like Sai Sudarshan will have 2 double hundreds.
Now that I've taken Shubman Gill's name, he's probably failing in the series, right? That goes kind of with...
I hope he has a good series. There's been so much nonsense around him after the Asia Cup.
Yeah, well, look, I'm still not sold on him as a T20 opener just because India have a wealth of riches. And Jaiswal is someone who I just rate higher as a T20 bat than Gill. But that's not saying that Gill is a poor T20 player. There's a difference between those two statements. But yeah, I mean, it's straightforward. He's gone Jaiswal, I've gone Gill. I would be surprised, you know, if they don't score many runs, honestly. Now that I've said that, you never know. All right. Highest wicket taker in the series, I'll start Kuldeep Yadav.
I'll go basic and I'll back Jadeja.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's also a solid shout. Yeah. He knows a fair few things about bowling in India, Ravindra Jadeja, and he's the vice captain, so maybe he shoulders that responsibility as well.
Seems if I want Jadeja to be the highest run scorer and wicket taker, would be perfect.
All right. Who
I would love
Do you reckon will be player of the series?
Oh, God. if the batters do well, they'll not give it to a bowler. I think Jadeja is a good bet because he's an all-rounder and he's probably going to contribute on both sides.
I'm going to go a bit hipster with my pick. Just because I want to. Okay. Just because I want to. Washington Sundar as player of the series. Why not?
I think that would be the other one I'd go for because all-rounders in India are usually a good bet, right? It's why Ashwin has like 75 player of the match awards or something. Series awards or something, isn't
it? Cheyenne will be happy that you've called him an all-rounder because that was a big debating point, right? When we had the all-rounders, perfect all-rounders test team quick picks episode.
That's true.
Anyway, scoreline predictions. I mean, 2-0 India, right? Am I wrong?
If it's not 2-0, India must have been bad in one of the test matches, right? It's not even arrogance. It's like, it's purely like just looking at both teams. I think if they don't win 2-0, there's something has gone wrong.
Absolutely. So that was pretty straightforward. And I mean, I recently got a prediction, right?
Soham says he has Sai Sudarshan as the highest.
All right, Soham. I mean, look, I think Sai Sudarshan is a really talented batter, but he kind of does get strangled down the leg side. Expect the West Indies to try that out versus him. Ben Stokes did it quite effectively. All right, let's have the other Super Chats then, because these predictions were too straightforward. We've got a fair few. And let's go first. So Satyam Singh says, put any team in Dubai on a flat track and India is invincible. What?
Asia Cup? T20s?
Put any team in Dubai on a flat
track. Any team against India on a flat pitch versus India and India would be invincible is what he's saying.
I don't quite agree with that. I feel like if it's a flat deck, then the likes of Australia, South Africa and England become very potent. If it is a slightly dodgy deck, that's where India have the edge over those guys. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I'd back India on like a balanced pitch as well. And like on a mega road, anything can happen. Like anyone can outbat anyone.
Anyway, let's move on with the Super Chats. We've got Andy says, is Kohli Rao for defining moment in India-Pakistan's feud after 21? The teams were converging after a decade of Indian dominance with a new generation Pakistan team. Look, in the absolute aftermath of that 21 game, the T20 World Cup game in Dubai, which Pakistan won by 10 wickets. We had some close encounters. Remember the Asia Cup encounters and then Melbourne. Then you got like the New York encounter, which was close. And just now the Asia Cup final encounter, which was also close. I think that since the 2010s and 2020s, it's a mismatch. And the rivalry has gotten really skewed in India's favor. Before that, it was very balanced. Even the 2000s were very, very balanced. I grew up in the 2000s. Trust me when I say that. But defining moment in what regard, bro? I'm not sure. Because now we've had some weird defining moments. It's just gotten like shit ugly. But in terms of cricket played.
I don't know. I think I assume it's like, is that moment... Is it after that moment why they become worse or something like that? I don't think correlation is causation here. They just, it's that moment or it happens to coincide with India becoming the dominant T20 side we see now and Pakistan regressing.
It's that World Cup.
With the bowlers especially going out of form, right?
In that World Cup, Pakistan made the final. India crashed out in the semis where they got their ass handed to them by England. And then...
I think that England semi-final is a bigger defining moment in India-Pakistan than the actual rough sixes.
Exactly. I feel like that is the watershed moment where things change for India. Rohit goes Rohit 3.0. The entire team buys into the new approach. And now you've got this white ball juggernaut of a team. Especially in T20s, they really are something. But again... I thought they were invincible, but they have proven to be somewhat vincible. So there are some holes over there. But then again, I don't think this Kohli Rauf thing had anything to do with it. Honestly, Pakistan regressed. India had an upward trajectory and quite a steep one at that. And yeah, I mean, there is a massive gulf between both teams. But I think what this Asia Cup has proven is that if both of these teams play each other regularly, the contests will eventually get more compelling and more close. Because with every game, they got more close than the previous one. Anyway.
That's very true.
Let's go to the next Super Chat.
So Gargias again.
Yes, is in a generous mood today. Thank you, Gargi. She says, who are the next generation fast bowlers of India, any format? Top of that chart would be Prasidh Krishna, I would say, across formats. His time has to be now.
Yeah, but he's like, isn't he like 30 or 31?
Is he? He's that old?
Yeah. He's been around for a while, I think.
To check this, man. He looks pretty young, bro.
So I guess Arshdeep is an easy answer to that.
Hot 29.
Even though I think he gets hated on a bit too much for my liking, I do quite like Harshit Rana. I think he's got potential. He should not be in the squad right now. That I agree with.
Yeah.
But you can't say that he hasn't got any talent. Yep. The other one is if fit Mayank Yadav would be the top of the list for me.
That's the one, right? If he is fit and firing, then Mayank Yadav kind of exceeds or supersedes all of these other guys, man. That guy's really something. And it's not just that he's rapid. Of course, he bowls with express pace. He really has impeccable control over his lengths. And that's what makes him truly special. Mm-hmm. But then injuries have marred his career. And so far, you know, it doesn't look great. But you never know. He's still young. I hope he's young. I'm shocked that Prasad...
I think Rob Barrett put it the best way in the IPL. He was like, when did Mayank Yadav become Umran Malik? Yeah. And I'm like, that is a concerning sign.
But so. Umran Malik was never Mayank Yadav because he was wayward, right? Mayank's lines and lengths were, you know, pretty accurate. And I feel like there is a difference over there. But then again, when you get these tearaway quicks who are bowling at 150 plus clicks, it becomes dangerous. Injuries become concerns. And then again, we cannot say for sure whether or not he will be a success because we're not sure if he'll get to play a lot.
There probably are a few other names I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't think he's next gen. I think he might be a missed opportunity, more like. I think he had a high ceiling, but maybe injuries, he lost space.
Missed opportunity.
He's not the same bowler as he was.
Missed opportunity is Kamlesh Nagarkoti, right?
That is a missed opportunity.
And then I remember
Shiva Mavi, I guess, has the other
we
one.
We had a proper discussion on this one day. I was like pumped to write a piece that I never wrote on India's.
We did a depth chart of hospitals. That's what he asked us.
And we actually came up with a lot of names. But then again, I feel like, you know, Mayank and Prasad, maybe. I mean, he's still 29 though. Varun has a point. Might not be next gen. Who can I think of on that? About Khalil?
Comments are saying Gurnoor Brad. I haven't followed him much, so maybe I need to see more of him.
I'm hearing the name for the first time because I've been busy with other things, but I'm sure like he must have something in him that his name has come up. Mm-hmm. What about Khalil? How old is he?
What is he, like 28?
He's probably
27,
pretty 28? Old too now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, what is it, Khalil Ahmed? What is that? I mean, Kuldeep Yadav. So Khalil's 27.
Okay, so, I mean, he's
28 in December. So
he could be...
He's not bad, I think.
Decent new ball bowler, left-arm angle. There's something to work with over there. But then these guys might never get a game anyway because we're still, like, seeing Bumrah, Siraj and Prasad Krishna and these guys play. Harshit Rana in Test cricket, I'm not sure about him, though, man. Maybe white ball is better suited to him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So I think what we're going to see, we had just had an golden generation of Indian fast bowling. We might have I just want fans to be prepared for, we might have a good generation. We might not have a Bumrah or a Shami or Bhuvi type bowler coming through. I think that's fine. We just have to be prepared for it. We might not produce an S-tier bowler for we might have a lost generation, not as good a generation. I think we should be ready for that. So that's what I'm preparing myself for.
Interesting. I mean, look, I don't think Mohammad Shami is going to play another test match for India, right?
Because
he would have gotten picked for this series, but he has missed out. And he would tell you that he can play, but the selectors think otherwise. Anyway, we probably have some more super chats to go through, Varun. Pretty good super chat day for the very first episode of the Kaza Konda show.
That's true.
Yeah, love it. Thanks so much, guys. Bluey, the dog, is here with a question. For those of you who don't get that joke, I wasn't being disrespectful. There's a cartoon called Bluey and there was a cricket episode on that, which all of you should go and watch. Jared and I did a footmarks on it as well. Bluey asks, would India A with Iyer, Jaiswal, Ruturaj, Prasid, Siraj, etc. finish second in the Asia Cup? Few of them would have batted better on slow surfaces than the first team. It's a good shout. I feel like they would have competed well, but the second tier of India's bowling can be taken apart, man. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a sure shot thing.
I mean, if the argument is India basically won the Asia Cup with spinners, I don't mind the second generation of second tier of spinners. Yeah. What were the second tier?
Chahal.
Sure, Bishnoi.
Chahal, maybe.
Washington.
Yeah.
I don't think I wouldn't have Chahal.
Yeah. Bishnoi?
Let's say if it's Bishnoi, I already forgot who I said.
Sai Kishore.
Bishnoi, Washington's in there, Sai Kishore, right? If that's the second tier, I think that's still slightly better than Pakistan's spin attack, right? India, you say India's fast bowlers were taken apart. India's main fast bowlers were taken apart. Yeah. They played with Dubey and they still didn't miss him. So if that's the logic I'm assuming, I don't know if that's a big differentiating factor. But the other thing is the second to batting lineup might arguably have been in better batting form.
That's true. Look.
So they could have easily outbatted teams.
All I'm saying is that yes, potentially they could have finished second in the Asia Cup, but there's no guarantee. Whereas with this Indian team, this wasn't the best Indian team, by the way, they could have picked a better squad. I would have picked Jaiswal, for instance. I might have even gone Shreyas Iyer. I might have compromised Sanju Samson entirely and kept wicket with Jitesh. I had ideas, right? I still feel like they can pick a better team. Prasad could have been in for Harshit. But despite all of that, we could say with confidence that India is going to win the Asia Cup. I can't say with confidence that the second Indian team would finish second. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's fair.
Anyway, who's next? We've got Parth, right winger. It's been a while, Parth. I haven't seen you in the Super Chats for quite a while. But he says, during all three India-Pakistan games, I said it's a nothing chase. My dad said Pakistan is a bowling team, as if he knew more than me because he was older. Are we expecting the Park batters to be generationally better? See, the word generationally better is just a really, it's a tough one to kind of unpack. Pakistan has talent, but then Pakistan's execution was very, very flawed. There are major concerns when it comes to their batting. I feel like they're a lot more sorted when it comes to their bowling, and they've been a very good fielding side under Mike Hessen. They've had their, you know, kind of moments, I suppose, where they've fucked up in the field, for the lack of a better word. But I see progress. Bowling, good. Fielding, much better than before. Batting needs to improve. They've got some time till the World Cup starts. If they can figure that out, they could potentially enter the T20 World Cup as dark horses. But that's as good as it gets right now, because you need time to make changes and kind of, you know, if they want to play modern day cricket, they're going to first have to understand what modern day cricket entails. Because at times it's just triple old school from Pakistan.
Yeah, so one of the easiest ways to make the semi-finals is, like, I think, just do what New Zealand do. Like, if you look at what New Zealand do is, they beat every team that's worse than them almost all the time. And they just need to win the odd game versus the best team. If Pakistan could do that, they could make the semis. And knockouts are anyone's business. Who knows what the hell happens in those, right? That's what they should be doing. I think the funniest thing is, before the tri-series happened, I was like, oh, the batting is clearly better than the bowling. The moment the tri-series happened, I lost any faith in the batting. And the bowling just kept getting better and better since then.
That's true, man. I mean, Pakistan, barring India, whenever they posted like 130, that was at times enough, right? Like, it was insane how well they were responding at defending totals. And even in the final, man, had they scored like 15 more runs, this could have been trouble for India. Pakistan could have won this game, because people say, oh, this is hindsight, whatever, India would have batted differently. No! Abhishek was going for a big shot, he got out. Sky was undone with a cutter. Shubman Gill was going for a big shot, he got out. India would have still been 20 for 3 and 4 overs. So this is not a hindsight thing. Pakistan made plenty of mistakes. If you go watch today's Pro Sports podcast, I counted like 13. Easy 13 mistakes. And the biggest one was them succumbing in the batting effort in the first innings. They were 113 for 1 in 12.4 overs, and then they lost 9 wickets for 33 runs in 39 balls. Didn't even play out the overs. You can't beat India after that sort of slide. They could have still beaten India had they not made other errors, but you're kind of just crippling yourself over there. So yeah, that was the biggest mistake. You can go watch the Pro Sports podcast, by the way, if you want to know everything about, or if you want us to.
You can't if you're in India.
You can't, but VPNs exist. Anyway, would we have any more Super Chats? Yes, we do. Andy's back. Says, this version of India isn't good on slow pitches with the bat. They struggled versus England. The previous generation and current 50-over team dominate on them. India maximized the power play big time. Take the final out and they had like 69, 72, 71, 60-something. When did they ever have a poor power play before the final? So I feel like that's the best time to bat on slow surfaces. India's methods were on point for the most part.
Also, like, are we saying, like, what, like, Ajinkya Rahane and, like, Manish Pandey in the T20 side were better on slow pitches?
Damn. Then now.
Like, I think even Virat, I think, even though Virat was good on slow pitches, I don't think Virat likes slow pitches. He likes a balanced pitch, usually.
Right. Yeah, I agree. He had a tendency to struggle versus spin as well at times. Anyway, let's move on. Got plenty of Super Chats today. We've got Abhishek Bhatti. He says, love your work, guys. Apologies, Bahram, for any abuse you might have been subjected to. You are a gem of a presenter and expert. What are the chances of Abhishek Sharma coming to the test squad soon? First of all, thank you, Abhishek. I feel like it's been so constant for so long now that I've also gotten immune. But messages like yours really do make my day, because ultimately I know that, you know, we all understand that my currency, or all of our currencies, are probably views on podcasts, right? I'm on three different platforms. But these sort of personalized messages of appreciation are a true metric of success for me. If I am getting these messages, then I must be doing something right. And Abhishek Sharma should be kept far away from the test team.
Yeah, he shouldn't be near the test team. I've heard they want him in the ODI team. Like, that I'm like more interested in, because he did have a good, what was his trophy called? Vijay Hazare Trophy. I think he was, in the recent Vijay Hazare Trophy, he averaged 58 with a strike rate of 130. So I'm like, if he can do something close, if he can replace Hines and Rohit, I do not mind it. But I thought they wanted Jaiswal to do high intent routes. I don't know what they do. If Jaiswal doesn't play again because of Abhishek, I feel like Jaiswal is going to punch someone.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfair on Jaiswal. Look, I love the idea of the prospect of playing Abhishek in ODIs, because he is a great power play batter, because it's not an issue for him to clear the inner ring field. Instead of 6 overs, he'll have 10. when I do the math in my head, it just tells me that this is going to work because he can deliver with ultra high knocks or ultra high intent knocks with sheer consistency. He had one failure in the Asia Cup. He was player of the tournament, deservedly so. So yeah, I mean, I'm all game for Abhishek in ODIs. I think India need to kind of figure out whether or not they need to stick with Rohit / Virat or both of them or one of them. That's a question they'll need to answer eventually.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, Bharat Ramachandran with another generous super chat. Thank you so much, Bharat. Says Sky can't bat on low and slow pitches. 23 World Cup final and now him and most Indian batters want the ball coming onto the bat. So Varun and I actually gave him a nickname this Asia Cup because he was so woeful with the bat. We were like, he's definitely not Sky, so he's probably ground. And the law of averages worked on Abhishek. It didn't work on Sky.
Yeah, so so with the 23 final, I've seen people use this example. One reason I disagree with it is because Sky was a terrible ODI batter. It wasn't like he was an elite ODI batter who failed in the final. He was just terrible in ODI cricket. So like, why did people expect him to suddenly do well in the final on a harder surfaces than what he's been playing on?
Yeah.
Right. And the second sentence is true, mainly because it is by design, right? It's India purposefully upkicking batters that are good versus pace bowling. So Jared and I were discussing this. Maybe like both of us think that there's been an overcorrection where they're completely neglected pure spin bashers, where you could make a very good argument that they might need like one or two more proper spin bashers in the team. Like Tilak is a perfect example, right? Tilak, he's not as good as spin bashing as I think some maybe like other people in the IPL are, but he's an elite player of pace bowling. That's what they like having him. But I think you could easily make an argument that you need someone who can bat spin in the middle of his on like slowish surfaces.
Also, I think Sky has done enough to kind of at least play the T20 World Cup and maybe even lead India in it. I'm not quite sold on Sky the captain. I have my criticisms, but then again, I feel like he's been one of the best T20 bats in history and he deserves to play a home World Cup and defend the title at home. But yes, you have a point. On certain surfaces, he really does become ground and not Sky. So that kind of wraps up our super chats. And this is fun. Subrata Das says, list A average of Abhishek is 35.23. Imagine him scoring those runs on a regular in 13 balls. You take it.
Yeah. So the other, let's say the ODI team, assuming they move on from Virat and Rohit, you could open with Abhishek and Jaiswal and have Gill at 3. Shreyas at 4, KL 5. Yeah. If you have those three at 3, 4, 5, you could probably afford to have an Abhishek just destroying teams in the power play.
Anyway, that wraps up the very first episode of the Casa Conda podcast. Leave your feedback in the comments section below. Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, and how frequently do you want Varun and myself to feature, because we haven't set a regular cadence. Varun hates podcasts.
No.
It might not seem that way when you're watching him, but he's not a fan. So I have to convince him to come on these shows. But I had a lot of fun and the response was great. So do make sure to give us your feedback. And of course, let's not forget that you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of our team, whether it be written content, videos or podcasts. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, all of our podcasts on the Good Areas Network, they are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, you can talk to us exclusively, and you can send your podcast recommendations as well. It's generally a very inclusive community, so just come through and talk about whatever. People are talking about pizza over there, right? So yeah, do that and we shall see you soon enough. That's all for today. Have a good one. Enjoy the India versus West Indies test series. We'll be covering it as well. And yeah, enjoy guys. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. Okay. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.